Hello, and welcome to Boss Madle, where I sit down and get real with some pretty amazing, creative women entrepreneurs. So grab yourself a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and get ready to be inspired. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the fourth episode of Boss Madle. I have to say that when I started this podcast, I had no idea of the extent to which I would be enjoying these conversations. I am loving it, and I hope you are too. Today's interview is super fun. It's with Aura Rosenblatt. She is a makeup artist, and she gives us a lot of tips and tricks on makeup and beauty products and how to achieve a flawless, dewy glow in a couple minutes, because let's face it, as busy moms, we do not have hours to put on makeup. Towards the end of the interview, we talk about girl bosses, of course, and Aura shared that one of her favorite girl bosses is actually the everyday woman who is, you know, busy and is a maybe stay-at-home mom. Maybe she's not even working, but she is finding fulfillment in her life. She is growing. She is learning. She's expanding. She's navigating her challenges. And I really love that. So here's a shout out to every woman, whether you have a business, whether you have a social media platform, whether you're stay-at-home, you know, really anybody who is trying to just pursue their desired life in this day and age, that's a task and that's a journey. And so kudos to everyone out there. It's really, really important to be able to appreciate one another. And this got me thinking that at some point during the podcast, I would love to feature some women who inspire me, even those who do not have businesses or work. I know what the podcast is interviewing creative entrepreneurs, but I would love to interview some women who I feel are girl boss of their own life. So stay tuned for that. And thinking about girl bosses, I wanted to bring up the topic of Joanna Saltz. I'm not sure if you know of her, but if you are in the interior design world, you probably have heard of her. She is the new editor at House Beautiful magazine. She started off doing their online editorial content and their Instagram account. And when she took over, she really shook up their kind of traditional way of doing things. House Beautiful in general is a very traditional publication with very devoted followers. And she kind of came in and really changed things around to the point where she ruffled a lot of feathers in the design industry. And she got a lot of criticism, a lot. And so I recently listened to an interview with her on, it's called Business of Home. It's a podcast that features industry insiders in the design business. And it was a very sharp interview where she was really under fire and they were really, you know, shooting questions about what she thought she was doing. And I have to say, even though I don't always agree with what she puts out there, she has beautiful magazines, but the content on Instagram can be a little jarring at times. She was so articulate, so thoughtful, so confident, and she had such a sense of humor together with all of that, that you just could not like her. And I thought, wow, here's a woman who is really getting so much criticism and she has a game plan. Her idea was to not only put out pretty content, but put out engaging content. So let's open up this very kind of exclusive interior design world to everybody. So someone who's scrolling on Instagram can pop open their feed and see a really funny video and start laughing and maybe post a comment or maybe answer a question. So that's really her idea, and she's very thoughtful about how she's doing it. It's not just kind of let me come in and shake things up just, you know, for fun, but she really has a game plan that she's sticking to despite what she's getting coming her way, despite the comments. In fact, there's a second Instagram account that is open that's been called Bring Back the Old House Beautiful or The Old House Beautiful, where people can be quite vicious in their remarks. And even though I don't agree with everything she's doing, I am in awe of her consistency, her bravery, and the fact that she's not letting down and that she's going to kind of follow through with what she thinks will work. And so that to me is kind of the ideal way to go about things, especially in business. It can be very scary to try something new, or even in life, if there's something that you really truly believe in, but there is, you know, criticism coming your way. It can be very hard, but I'm really inspired by what she's doing. And the quote I want to use today is from John Quincy Adams. And he says, "Patience and perseverance have a magical effect before which difficulties disappear and obstacles vanish." And so I'm going to try to inject a little more perseverance into my habits. I tend to get dejected, you know, quite easily. I like to have things just perfect and just so. And so sometimes it takes a little more time and a little more effort to kind of push through, work through fears, work through criticism. So I really hope that we can all take that and use it in whichever way we can. So without further ado, let me introduce our guest for today. Aura Rosenblatt is a makeup artist, hairstylist, a mother of three, and sister to 11 siblings. She has been working in the beauty world for over 15 years. She believes that every woman is beautiful and that inner confidence is the best beauty secret. Aura, welcome to the show. Hi, Aura. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to have you. This is really exciting.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored.
Yes. Yeah, so I can't wait to hear all about your business. Maybe let's start with, you taking us back a bit and telling us how you started your business.
Okay. So I'm a makeup artist.
Okay.
And hairstylist by trade. And when I was 19, I moved to New York because that's what everybody was doing. All my friends were moving. And so I wanted to be there. Literally, that was my main reason for going. And I needed a job. And I didn't like all the options that were offered to me. I hadn't gone to college. I couldn't do much. And so I was talking to a friend one day about what I should do. And she's like, well, what do you like? I was like, well, I love makeup and I love clothing. And she's like, pick one and do it. So I was like, okay, let me try makeup. And I had a friend who became my mentor, Molly Stern, who's a huge makeup artist. And she helped me get into the business. And the first job I ever had was at Henri Bendel's.
Oh,
in Manhattan.
Wow.
And I worked at the counters. I was a counter girl and I was the youngest one there and everyone knew what they were doing besides me. And I literally just watched other makeup artists and copied their technique. And that's how I sold products.
That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah. And then I went to, about a year of that, I went to back to LA and got my cosmetology license at Santa Monica College because I thought, in case I need to work at a salon one day, I should have it, or if I want to open one.
Okay.
And I did that, took about a year and a half, and then I went back to New York and started working at a salon and started doing the other part of it, which was my favorite part, which was the fashion and all that good stuff. And
okay, so when you say fashion, you mean styling, shopping, personal shopping?
No, all makeup. All makeup.
Okay, so like the fashion shoots.
Yeah. So like magazine shoots, commercials, red carpet. I did a lot of fashion week, which was my favorite.
Oh, wow.
All those shows were
thrilling.
My favorite. It was thrilling. It was a lot of really amazing energy and incredible people. And it was really exciting.
Do you have any really funny stories or incidents that you could share with us? For those of us who may not go backstage.
If we leave out names, maybe.
Absolutely.
Well, actually, the first like rookie experience I had, we can use her name, but the first, I would say rookie experience, I was working for, the makeup artist I was assisting was Gucci Westman, which was my first, fashion week makeup artist that I ever assisted. And then I worked with her for quite a few years and she had me, the models were just starting to come in and she's asked me to go around and check who's here. So we knew who was here and who needed to come because it was, DVF show and there was like 30 models. So I'm going around asking everybody their name. I was literally, I think I was 22 maybe or 23. I had no idea who, literally no idea who these models were. I just knew I wanted to work and they were just models. They all kind of looked the same. And I started asking everybody what their names is to like note them down. And then there was this one beautiful girl and I was like, excuse me, can you tell me your name? And the hairstylist is like, are you kidding me? He had so much attitude. He's like, you cannot be in this business if you don't know who this is. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm really new. And it was Leah. I'm going to forget her last name. We're going to have to look her up. But of course, my mommy's brain's going into big effect.
That's totally Leah fine. I did just ask you this question on the spot. You know, what's it
like? No, that's okay. Leah, I don't even know if I'm pronounced Leah Kabidi. I don't remember.
Oh, but, yes. Yes, yes.
She's beautiful.
She's beautiful.
And yes. and she's very popular, and she was really popular at the time that I had started, and the hairdressers were not impressed with me.
Well, you know what? If it's any consolation, I remember the first time I went for a proper job interview in this really fancy design firm in Soho. It was for Benjamin Origo Ortiz, and I brought my like little crappy portfolio, but I had stupidly forgot to check him out, and I didn't even know his work. So then when they interviewed me, they're like, what do you admire about his work?
Oh, no.
And I just remember seeing like this huge vase of like white feathers in the corner, and I'm like, his use of white? And they were like, oh, girl, oh, my you know God. What? You need to come prepared. And again, you know, I was, what, 20? So, it happens.
You learn quick. You learn very quick. I'm a quick study. By the next show, I knew every model who they were.
I can imagine. So how do you transition from that into what you have currently in LA? Was that just a process of moving back here and motherhood or?
Yes, it was I would say it was a process of motherhood, mostly. Mm-hmm. I moved back to LA about 8 or 9 years ago. And the fashion makeup that I was doing in New York isn't really here. The shows are not the same at all, obviously. Most of the like cool fashion shoots were being done in New York at the time. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really they were 17 magazine was doing a lot of stuff here, but it wasn't really the style I was looking for. And then I started getting into red carpet a little bit, but it was a really hard hustle and a really hard business to get into.
And it's very different than the fashion one?
Yes, it is. For some reason, it's more competitive, I would say. Mm-hmm. Also, I don't work on Chavez, which throughout the years has made me turn down a lot of stuff. I worked with a couple celebrities, and then they'd call me back for Chavez, and I had to say no and no again. And after you say no a couple times, they stop calling. Right. So that was really hard for me. And then they do commercials out here, but the hours are, and music videos, those hours are really hard. They're like 15, 16 hours on set. The first time I did one after a baby, I had to pump like 3 times. It was difficult.
Wow.
So I actually stepped back, which I like took a year off from makeup completely. When my baby was about 10 months. And when I came back to it, I decided I needed to do it in another form and started doing more private clientele, weddings, and just local clients.
Okay. Now, you know, you have been doing a series with Samantha Goodstead.
Yes.
I'm probably butchering her name.
No, it's okay. Samantha Goodstead and Haley White.
Okay.
They are two people that everyone should check out. They're so amazing. They're really cool and interesting. They're both moms. They were both actresses and TV hosts, and they got together and created this thing called Don't Call Me Mommy. And they do basically commercials that they come up with, really funny, all comedy, sketch comedy.
I've seen them. They're hysterical.
They're hysterical. And now companies are hiring them to write these commercials and comedy bits for them, which is really fun. And I've known Samantha for probably 12 years, and we've worked together over the years. And so they're my girls. I'm honored to always get to do their makeup for all their shoots and sets. And they're really fun. And we just had The Bachelor come on one of our new shoots, which is coming out soon, which will be really cool to see.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Nice. Really
nice.
Yeah,
it was great.
So now, how do you juggle motherhood, work, and, you know, is there a way you can practice self-care in your busy routine?
Anyone who knows me knows that I know how to do self-care. That is
good for you.
Yes, I learned from the best, as I say, which was my mother, who has 12 kids and was a Revitin, and just knew when she needed self-care how to make it happen. So we learned from her. She loves the spa, and I love the spa.
That's nice.
Yeah, but juggling motherhood and work is really hard. I feel that it's really difficult. It's just like there's this meme going around that, you know, people expect you to work like you don't have kids and raise kids like you don't have work. And I feel like it just resonates with everybody. Because
so true.
Yeah, even people who are stay-at-home moms, they have passions, and you know, that's their work, even if it's just drawing or reading or writing or whatever it is. And so it's a really hard juggle. I find that with me, I got really lucky because I freelance, which means that I get to make my own schedule. I don't work every day. So the days that I'm on work, but the days I'm home, I'm fully with my baby. I'm home when my kids get home. I pick them up. I can make them dinner. It's really nice to be able to have that back and forth. Granted, there's some days that are really crazy and I don't feel like I have it all together, but I also feel like you can't have it all, but you can have most of it most of the time if you're willing to get help. That's how I feel about
it. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. You just need to know how to ask for help from either people who can help you or how to hire help. I'm a big one on that. Yeah. And as far as self-care, like, I think you need to really learn yourself and know when you need that break. I'm very aware of when I need a break. And then it doesn't even have to be something big. Like for me, a break can be going on a hike with a friend or going for coffee with my husband, Dove, or when I'm like really needing it, doing a spa day by myself. I love doing that. That's if a friend wants to join, that's fine, but I'm totally happy going to the Korean spa and taking a book and being there for what I need.
Right. Well, that's great because I think, you know, when I first started out as a mom, I thought I need like, you know, a nice 5-day vacation to, refill my cup. But that's really hard to do.
It's impossible. I mean, how many 5 days vacation can you get? You're lucky if you get one once a year. Lucky.
Right. Right. So, and I'm lucky because I do get to travel quite a bit, but you need something, I think, day to day that consistently, can give you a breather. Is that's just as important as the big, beautiful trip or, you know, the exciting adventure. It's like you said, the cup of coffee, the walk, whatever it is.
I think a walk works wonders. If I've had a rough day and I just haven't had any time for myself, once the kids are in bed, even at 7 o'clock at night, I'll just tell my husband I need to go for 15 minutes. I'll take my earbuds. I'll walk quick. I'm always aware of my surroundings if it's dark and I just get that fresh air for 15 minutes. Feels amazing.
Now, was there a particular fear or challenge that you were able to overcome, or maybe one that you still face when it comes to either your career or motherhood or life?
Yes. I was thinking about this one. I feel that, like, I think the biggest fear for me is when I'm meeting new clients and whether they like my work or not. I think it doesn't matter what stage you are. It doesn't matter that I've been doing this since I was 19 years old and I'm 36. I think there's always this like, I wouldn't call it anxiety necessarily, but this like, well, what if they don't like what I can do? Like,
sure.
There's two sides of it because you also, as you grow, you come to a place of like, well, but this is what I do and I'm proud of what I do. So. Mm-hmm. It's not the same type of fear when you're like just starting out in your work and you're like, maybe I just don't know what I'm doing. It's a different kind. It's like, this is what I do and I like it. And of course they hired me knowing this, but like, what if they're not happy? For me, it's important for my clients to be really happy.
Of course. It's funny. I interviewed Leia Sandman on episode. She was saying how she still gets butterflies or the jitters or whatever it is before every show. Even though she's had so many successful, not shows, but pop-up shops. And even though she's had so many successful ones, she still gets nervous before each one. Yeah. And I was saying the same thing every time I go to a client, every time a wallpaper goes up, a new paint color, a new sofa comes in, it's that feeling of, oh, I really want them to be happy.
Yeah. And I think it's a good, healthy feeling. I think it keeps it non-boring. You know, imagine if you're like, oh, I know what to do and this is blah, blah, blah. You know, it keeps it interesting. And especially like for people like us who go to different clients, it's always fun. I mean, I love people. I can meet new people every other minute and it like energizes me. I love talking. I love hearing about other people's lives. So, you know, that's part of what I do is I talk to them as I work. We call it makeup therapy. And
I love that.
Yeah, it is. It's makeup therapy, and it's really rewarding. You know,
yeah, I can imagine.
I find it the most part. You know, part of my job, what's rewarding for me is seeing people happy. Obviously, that goes with, you know, the other side of the fair is what's rewarding is the seeing people happy, but also being a place for people to just come and talk. And they know that, like, I will just be there to listen, and they can I've heard lots of secrets, and just stays right here in our space and kind of becomes this nice sacred space of openness, which I really enjoy.
That's really, really nice. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure women, you know, feeling relaxed and pampered are much more likely to open up.
Yeah. And especially if they know that they won't be judged for whatever they're going to say.
Right. Right. Yeah. So that was kind of the goal with this podcast was I really wanted women to be able to kind of share their experiences, which you just did so candidly, you know, just about motherhood and life and work. Yeah. And even if you don't work, it's like you said, women have passions, women have other interests.
Yeah.
And how do we maintain all that in a, you know, in the best possible manner, really? So let's move on to beauty products and makeup, which is so exciting. I mean, what a fun topic. Right?
Yes, always. Always. I love talking about it.
So, you know, let's start with what are some of the common mistakes that women make when it comes to makeup?
Okay. I think every makeup artist would have a different opinion. So
we can start
with that. But for me, I think the common mistake is that people wear too much, is that they try to cover up what they don't like. And what ends up happening is that you end up exposing more of what you don't like. So if it's the under eye circles, when you're throwing on a ton of concealer, then that's all anyone really sees is concealer under your eyes. And I think people get confused, especially with the Instagram makeup artists going on, because they see these makeup artists throwing on so much makeup on their face and the end result is so beautiful and glamorous. Mm-hmm. The problem is that the makeup artist that they're watching has these big white lights, which is what I use when I do my tutorials, because it just, you give bounce, makes everything look good and smooth. But in real life, it doesn't translate. Mm-hmm. So when you walk out the door into the sunlight, you see a lot of makeup. And so I would say that's the biggest faux pas. I really believe in less is more.
Right.
I'm really, that's kind of what I'm known for.
A lot of your looks are very fresh faced and dewy and with that glow.
Yeah. And I also think that, another faux pas is that people believe that beauty is external. Mm. That's not my thought. And the truth is, if you think about it, you would see that most people don't really believe that. Because when you think of someone who like has amazing presence, let's say you're at a coffee shop or restaurant and somebody walks in and like everyone kind of notices them. You know, those people who like walk in, everyone's like, wow, she's beautiful, or like something like that. Most of those people who are noticing, A, might not be conventional beauty, and B, they might just have that like that inner confidence about them. When I see someone, it's the way they're walking, it's what they're wearing, it's, you know, it's the way they have their hair done, or it's not necessarily you're like, oh, she's, her features are beautiful. You're noticing something about her because she's really comfortable, or he's really comfortable in his own skin and has that confidence.
So true.
Yeah. So for me, a big belief is that beauty is not external and it comes from the inside. And people really see that without realizing it. Like you notice it, but you're like, wait, what is that? Why is that person standing out in this coffee shop? And sometimes they could even be kind of messy. You know, their hair might not be done, or like they have no makeup on and they look like they might be wearing pajamas. I don't know, this day hipster or homeless, like they could be.
Especially in Los Angeles.
At the same time, especially in Los Angeles, but at the same time, there's something about them. And that's usually coming from the inside.
Right. I think it's like when everyone loves to talk about French women. Not every French woman is gorgeous, you know, let's be honest.
But most of them are.
But yes. But you know what, even if they're not, you know, their
features
are not
them.
Perfect, there's something about them. There's that je ne sais quoi. And Yeah. Yeah. There's a confidence and
there's a confidence. And it's coming from inside. That's right.
So, and I'm assuming that LA culture is very different than New York, right? In terms of beauty and what people go out with.
Yes. It's so different. It's nice to be in both worlds. I love going to New York. Like when I go to New York, I like, you know, I dress up a little bit more, which is lovely. I feel like I miss that, you know, and that at the same time, I'm thankful I don't have to do that because I can barely get out of the house in the morning with all my kids and everything going on. So the fact that I could jump out in like Birkenstocks, you know, and a cozy sweater and people think I look good is wonderful for my lifestyle.
Right.
But I also think every city has a pulse. You know, I love cities. Sure. You know, I love cities. And New York has its own pulse. And LA has its own pulse. And yeah, people dress different in cities because it goes with what's happening around it.
Sure.
That energy
sure.
in there.
Tap into that energy, for sure.
Yeah. So when I go to New York, it's definitely very much more style than hip. And I think makeup actually goes with that. Like, I feel in New York, women have more of a like business style makeup look or like something very fashion forward. Even if you're a regular girl, like you're wearing a bright pink lipstick and on a regular day with, you know, your cool army boots. But in LA, I think it's way more fresh faced and beachy.
Yeah, sure. So now do you have any beauty products that you would recommend that, you know, maybe using one or two beauty products that can make such a difference on someone. And maybe we can do a day look and a night look. What would you recommend for either one?
Okay, that's a good question. I would say my favorite would be a lip and cheek stain.
Okay.
Like that, I think that makes the world of a difference to anyone's face. When you put a little lipstick and a little blush on, I think blush is so forgotten so often, and it really just brings light. And if you're using cream blushes, I feel like it brings youth to your face. It just brings an inner glow.
And just, do you have a particular brand that you like for cream blushes?
Okay. So I love cream blushes. I have so many, and I have like every brand. For regular, Stila and Honest Beauty make beautiful colors. Those are most of my cream. And if you want to go a little higher end, I am obsessed with Chantecaille.
That's the one I'm using now.
Oh, they're so, first of all, I love all their products and they're worth the money.
Good to know. I just spent a lot on Chantecaille.
Yes, you did. I bet you did. I would say lip and cheek. And also, if you don't have a lip and cheek with you, like if you don't have one to go, just use your lipstick. Your lipstick on and just use, I mean, I use lipstick on people all the time just in my regular work because I like the color or I like the monochromatic look. Just dab a little bit of your lipstick on your cheek, on your apples of your cheek, blend it in and you've got the look going.
What a great idea.
Yeah.
That's great. So now nighttime, obviously we would do something a little more dramatic or a bit more impact.
So a bit more impact. I would continue with the lip and cheek because you have it on. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the number one thing to like dramatize anything is eyeliner. You want to add a little drama, you just throw a bit of eyeliner on and you've got it going on. I also love for like something a little more edgy and kind of not so obvious to just put eyeliner on the bottom.
Oh.
So you just keep your top of your lid clean from eyeliner. You have your shadow, mascara, lots of mascara, and then just put eyeliner in the waterline and just underneath it and kind of smudge it. And it's like a reverse cat eye. It's pretty fun.
Oh, that's really different.
It gives a nice and different and with a good impact and just something new.
So just mascara on top, right? And then the eyeliner on the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can use shadow if you like. I always use like something glowy these days. If you want an amazing product, there's a company called Bodyography. They have glitter pigments. I think I have every single color. They're gorgeous.
Oh, nice. Okay. And I'll include that in the show notes.
Yeah. Great, simple eyeshadow.
Okay. Good. Yeah. So let's go to our round of quick questions. And this is where I ask you about some of your favorites. Let's start with your favorite book.
Okay. So the round, I have to preempt everything. The round of quick questions was very difficult for me.
Okay.
Because I never like one thing. I'm also a little bit fluid in what I like. Like I'll be like, oh, I love, you know, purple's my favorite color. And then next month I'd be like crazy for orange. That's just on simple terms. But like, I'm obsessed with books and reading. This was really difficult for me because I love books. Also, like, you're like, all the questions, I was like, but there's so many answers. So I tried to narrow it down just to say, so there might be more than one.
Sure. Sounds good. All of that I would do the same thing.
I can't do one. Okay. So for favorite books, I have two authors that I pretty much love all their writings. One is Ken Follett. He is the author of Pillars of the Earth, Eye of the Needle, those books. Love him. His writing is just, every book he puts out is fabulous. My second author I picked was Ruth Reichel. Do you know her?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's, so two of my favorite books of hers is Tender to the Bone and Comfort Me with Apples.
Oh, I gotta read this.
Oh, I read her books and all I want to do is like lie in my bed and get and cook and wish I could go eat with her. Like she is a people and you, who do you want to have a meal with? I just want to sit with her and eat and talk. So those would be my two authors. And then there's another book that kept popping in my head and I was like, I just can't leave it out. It's called The Paris Wife.
I love that book.
There was so many levels of that book that I just enjoyed wholly. So that was my next one.
Yeah, I would highly recommend that to listeners. It's about Ernest Hemingway's first wife and their time in Paris.
Yeah. Yes. And it's great. It's not an autobiography, though.
Right. Historical fiction.
Fiction. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's great. So now what is your favorite life hack?
Okay. So for that, I have one for motherhood.
Okay.
And one for regular life.
Bring it on.
So I would say my favorite life hack for motherhood is making your baby's bottle the night before, leaving it in the fridge, and just adding hot water in the morning. So at 6 a.m. when you're stumbling through the dark, you don't have to start throwing formula into. Literally, every morning I feel really smart that I do this. I'm sure almost every mother does, but it's one of my favorites.
I never did. I stumbled. And swore and muttered.
And you swear, right. Muttering and swearing to yourself. Or you can grab that cold bottle. I always have hot water up because we're big coffee and tea drinkers. And just put a little bit of hot water, shake it up. Baby's good to go.
Love it.
Yeah. And then for my other favorite hack that I've been doing for since they stopped letting you bring water through the airport, I bring a big empty water container, like a water bottle, one that I bring from home, and I just leave it empty. And when I get through security, I fill it up at the fountain because two things. Number one, those waters in the airport cost your rent and they're like as small as you can find. There's no big bottles. And number two, once I get on the plane, they only give you cups of water and I need to drink a lot of water when I'm traveling.
Right. That's a good one. I should try that. I actually saw someone doing that in the airport.
My favorite.
Like, that's clever. Yeah.
And now I bring one for each kid. Like if I'm traveling with kids, they all get in their backpack, goes their empty water bottle. And we just make a trip to the water fountain and fill it up.
Oh, I'm going to try that. Yeah. Instead of spending my life savings on teeny tiny water bottles.
Bottles of water that literally I get, especially when I'm nursing. Like those are going to do nothing.
I can imagine.
Two sips. Two sips is what you get.
Right. And then you're done.
All of it. And then you're done. Literally, I think I could probably drink one of those in one sip. I'm just saying.
True. I agree with you. I'm going to try that. I really love that's a good life hack. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a favorite quote or saying?
Yes. My favorite quote is that one I didn't even have to like pick two. My favorite quote is from Picasso, who I am a fan of. And it, the good artists borrow and the great artists steal.
Oh.
And it is I use it all the time. I can't tell. I use this quote. Whenever I'm talking with other artists, I use it all the time because It resonates so much with me. First of all, I've also seen this, which I thought, do you know who Banksy is?
No.
Okay. Banksy is a really cool artist that you should look up and everyone can look up. I'm a fan of his too. He has really cool, he's a tag artist. So he's from London. Nobody really knows who he is. There was actually a documentary on him, but we think it's a false documentary. We're not sure. And basically he would make pictures like against buildings of like, for example, one of his pictures are a doctor. There's like a peace sign and a heart sign and a doctor's checking the heart to see if it's working. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very political art, but it's really interesting. Anyways, one of his pieces was this quote from Picasso that the good artist copy or borrow and the great artist steal. And he had crossed out Picasso and wrote his name.
How unique.
And I thought that was just so clever.
Okay. I love that quote, especially for creatives. I mean, that's
for a creative. It's great. And what it means, it doesn't mean that we actually steal, but it means that when you, that it's okay to borrow from somebody's art, like see something that inspires you and kind of take it almost wholly, but stealing it, meaning that you make it your own. You still have something that comes through that's you. It's not a copy.
Yeah. And we all need inspiration from someplace or someone. Right. So that's really a unique one. I've never heard that. I'm glad.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm learning so many new things today.
I know. That's what happens when you talk to people. This is why I love to talk to people.
I know. So now we talked a lot about makeup and beauty products in general, but do you have a favorite lipstick shade or scent that you love to use every day?
Okay. Yes. Well, sort of. Again, who uses one lipstick? Let's be honest.
I know.
Okay. So I would say that I have a couple reds because I'm a big fan of reds. Laura Mercier has a lip stain called Scarlet. It comes in a little like tub.
Okay.
And it's just, it's beautiful. It's the perfect red. Well, for me, everyone has their own perfect red and it looks, it really, I love a stained lip. I'm very into stained lips. So that one is really beautiful. I also have a Clé de Peau, which is another high end brand, but beautiful, beautiful stuff. A lipstick from them and it went by, I don't even know if it exists anymore. I've had it for so long, but it was number 15. It's so old though, but I still love it. And then another product is Chanel Sparks Lip Gloss. My favorite lip gloss of all time. It's like a sparkly red. It's phenomenal. I've been wearing it for like 20 years. And then I would say I wanted to throw in one drugstore brand because I am a big drugstore buyer and I love that. So nowadays the like red lip that's really popular is kind of like going more to the oxblood hues. So it's like a deep purple mixed with a dark brown. It's kind of a throwback to the '90s a bit. And one of my favorite colors for that is from the drugstore. It's CoverGirl and it's a demi matte lipstick called Worthy and it's $6. So.
That's
a good one
too.
You can't go wrong with that.
Okay, great. And I'll include all the brands and names in the show notes. So anyone who wants to, you know, purchase those products, you will have a link. So our last question, yes. Do you have a favorite girl boss or style icon? And again, you can name a few.
Yeah.
It's really hard to pick one. The more the merrier.
Yeah. So, okay. So I would say my style icon would be a mix of Karen Elson and Emma Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have an affinity for redheads. Mm-hmm. Like I just can't get away from them. And those two are both redheads. And I was talking to my girlfriends about this. I was like, who do you guys think my style icon is? And I was like, I feel like Karen Elson. They were like, yeah. And you know, Emma Stone. And then they were both my friends who I've known since I was 5. They were like, yeah, but you'll always be Julianne Moore's lost daughter, which is something that like they've been telling me for probably 30 years. They're like, you could just be her daughter. You kind of look alike and you both redhead. And so I'm also like, she's not my style, but I respect her so much as an artist, as the way she puts herself together. But yeah, I would say Karen Elson is really my style.
Yep.
Icon.
As a child of the 90s, Karen Elson is one, definitely one of my, you know.
Yeah. First of all, she was so popular back then. And what I would say, what I love about her is that the reason why I find her to be my style is that when she doesn't dress up, she's so chill. Like, she'll just wear a t-shirt and jeans out with a little bit of like a bomb, and she looks beautiful. And that's kind of my everyday look, you know? And then mm-hmm. when she dresses up, she goes all vintagey with like the red lips and the wavy, you know, Veronica Lake hair, and her clothing was magnificent. So I feel
you know what? You have to check out our house in Nashville. It is beautiful and so vintage. You've seen it, right?
Yes. Yes. She's incredible. No, I'm telling you, I think everything about her is fantastic. And she's a model, and she's a singer, and she's everything. She's mm-hmm. wonderful.
Yep.
And then as far as girl bosses, I'm just inspired by women. I like, so there's one makeup artist named Net Art. Mm-hmm. Her name's Netta. She's Israeli. She's works for MAC, and everyone needs to check her out. Her makeup art is another level. Like, she can do every day, but she can do just fashion, beauty, inspiration. She just cool. It's just like cool stuff that you wish you could do that I can't.
Okay.
So I'm a big fan of hers. I love, and I also take inspiration. Like, she'll do some crazy look and I'll be like, oh, that color is fantastic for just like something a little bit more simple. So you can really be inspired by her and not obviously do the crazy look, but kind of tone it down.
Sure.
you're like, sure. Well, that's what my Insta stories are for. Or you can watch my Insta stories and I'll show you how to tone it down.
I love your Insta stories because I love makeup, but I can't do anything fancy. I mean, it's got to be really clear and simple for me. And you have such great instructions, and it's not like oversimplified. You're not dumbing it down, but you're like, hey, ladies, okay, if you're busy or you're, you know, you just are not great at doing a, you know, perfect little cat eyeliner, you know, here's how you get a beautiful, dewy, glowing face. So love them. Love them.
Thank you. Thank you. That's why I started doing it. Because I was like, people just don't know how to simplify and like do it for every day. So instead of, you know, doing anything, they don't do it at all. And my favorite thing is when someone contacts me on Instagram, and it's happened a bunch, and it makes me feel so good. And they're like, I just tried your eyeliner trick and now my eyeliner looks so good and I feel so good and I feel accomplished. And it makes me really happy.
Yeah. You come across as
thank
very
you for
approachable.
That.
Really. It's a big deal because a lot of these videos, like you said, it's 6 steps to contouring and 5 eyeshadows, 3 eyeliners. And it's like, oh my God, can't do that.
And besides that, you can't do that because you don't have the experience to do that. Who has the time for that? Like, you're going out at 7:30. Your kids are in bed at 7. You have a half hour to do everything with kids coming out of bed for water and this and that. Like, I think we just need to simplify, but makeup is so powerful that just a little bit goes a long way. So that's my message.
So true.
Okay. So back to girl bosses. So again, I think Ruth Reichel, who was my author, basically she wrote books. She was the editor of one of the biggest food magazines. I find her just fascinating. So I love her. Also, there's this new girl on town, because I love books, called Tara Westover. She wrote a book called Educated.
Oh, I just heard about it.
Yeah.
I have to get it.
You must get it. I think everyone should read it. I also just saw her. I went to her book reading. And besides the fact, she basically wrote a book that everyone should read about her childhood. She grew up a certain way, and really didn't get an education and went to educate herself and graduated, I believe, Harvard and Cambridge, like something crazy, and wrote a book about it. But even more than her book that she wrote, she's now, trying to start a new thing to be able to start educating children in more rural towns that aren't getting the proper education they need. So I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, yes.
And then the other girl bosses is just, as I said, regular women. Like my sister, Dina. I have a sister, Dina, who I think is one of the most incredible women. She's got 6 kids. She's got a happy marriage. She's pretty awesome. And she's just one of those people who are like, oh, I want to be an artist today. And she starts teaching herself how to paint. And I have paintings in my house that I hang on the wall because they're so magnificent from her. Or she's like,
I agree. She is phenomenal.
She's phenomenal. She's like, I want to be a yogi. And she stands on her head in like 5 months. Or she's like, I'm going to run. And she runs marathons. Okay, this is my favorite story of her. She decided she was going to run a marathon with friends and then found out that it was too late to sign up. So most people would just be bummed and be like, oh, I wish I could have done that. No, she emails the head of the marathon and says, all my friends are running and I really want to be a part of it. So can you please fit me in?
Yeah.
And they say, yes,
that sounds like her.
Yeah. So like, I think girl bosses, there's this idea that a girl boss needs to be like someone who's doing everything and has accomplished so like out there in the world so much. But for me, like, I think if you just look at the women around you.
So true.
They have incredible stories and they do incredible stuff and you can just be inspired and learn from them. Like I'm working on my headstand now because my sister does it every single day that I see her and now I need to do it too.
Right. And it's not necessarily a girl boss that, you know, typical image of a woman sitting at her desk, typing at her computer, killing it in business. It can mean any woman killing it in any area of her life or going for something.
Killing it in life.
Yeah.
Also, all my sister's kids, all 6 of them, listen to her. You do not get more girl boss than that. I haven't seen anyone's kids who all listen to them.
Hands down, I agree.
She's just amazing.
We should interview her, Aura. We should interview her.
We should, yes.
Okay.
I would like to co-interview her. I'm just kidding.
Yes.
You can interview her.
I'm going to do that. You know what? It was funny. I'm just thinking about that before the interview, how I was so excited to interview women who've created very interesting businesses and have been pursuing their passion. But I also want to interview women who might not necessarily have a business or a platform on social media, but who are doing very interesting things, leading very fulfilling lives, pursuing their own dreams. So it's a great idea. It really is.
Yeah. She'd be a great one. She's traveled a bunch. She's very cool.
Yeah. So, Aura, thank you so much for joining us today. Yeah. This was a lovely conversation. So can you tell listeners where they can find you?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram. I would say that's the best place to find me at Beauty by Aura, Aura spelled A-U-R-A. And I basically post my work and some stories. My stories kind of consist of what's happening a bit in my life and my makeup tutorials, which I try to do a couple times a week if I can.
Great. And yeah, definitely listeners, check out those tutorials. They are incredible. Really, really
fun. And I love feedback. So give me feedback.
Yes. Yes. Please do, guys. Well, Aura, thank you so much.
My pleasure. This was lovely chatting with you. Thanks for having me.
Have a great one. Bye.
You too. Take care. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening in on our thoughtful, authentic conversation today. Stay tuned for next week's episode and make it a great one.